WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Michigan say the death toll could rise after at least four people were killed when a local Marine veteran plowed his car through the doors of a Latter-day Saints church, opened fire, and then set fire to the building. Paul Kirby was inside.
So we're sitting in a sacrament meeting, and we hear a loud boom coming from the back wall of the chapel.
Congressional leaders meet with President Trump today in a bid to prevent a government shutdown Wednesday morning. Democrat Tim Kaine tells CBS,
"The only thing about the president's threat to fire more people is he's already doing it. And instead of threatening, he should just be meeting to negotiate."
The president will also take a meeting with Israel's leader. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be here at the White House as President Trump continues to push for a Gaza peace proposal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has reported another significant increase in the number of calls for falls in 2024. According to a recent report, emergency crews responded to over 140,000 calls for residents who were hurt in a fall. The total is nearly 10,000 higher than 2023 and over 35,000 higher than 2019. DHS officials say the state's aging population is a contributing factor in the increased number of falls. Wisconsin also has the highest fall death rate among older adults in the country. Wisconsin state lawmakers have introduced legislation to ban hemp-derived THC products in Wisconsin. Lisa Hill reports.
The proposed bill would close a loophole in the 2018 federal farm bill, allowing certain kinds of items like beverages and vapes that contain THC to be sold legally. The bill would change the technical definition of hemp and ban the sale of items that contain synthetic cannabinoids.
Republican State Representative Scott Krug has introduced a proposal to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day earlier. The current election process requires clerks to wait until election day to count absentee ballots, causing delays in larger areas of the state like Madison and Milwaukee. The proposal would also require absentee ballot drop boxes to have 24-hour video surveillance live streamed on the local municipality's website and require that ballots be transferred from the drop boxes to a storage facility under law enforcement supervision. Krug said his goals for Wisconsin elections include three things: that the person voting is who they say they are, that the person is eligible to vote, and that we know who won the election before we go to bed on election night. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song.
For the morning show here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Hebhager.
Good morning.
The other end of production, our great co-host, Laura.
I am also the head of production.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, also head of production is what I meant to say, is what I was trying to say there. I got to get my writers working on this. I need a better teleprompter. We got fun things lined up for you, everybody. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff this morning. We kick things off the way we like to with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. How you doing, Brett?
Hello. Oh, no. We lost her. Oh, no. Oh, no. She was here. No, she's gone.
I was so excited.
Oh.
Bummer.
I'm doing all right, Brittany.
It's really cold out there right now. Might want to wear a sweater or something. But then, around noon, it's going to get really warm. And then you're going to want to take that sweater off. And a little bit later, it's going to get a little bit colder again. You're going to want to bring that sweater back. This is Brittany Merlot. WFHR.
You confused Brandy with Don Cornelius, I think, is what you did there. That's what it was.
They sound so much alike to me.
No, that's how my Britney impression sounds, too.
Oh, wow.
Maybe you're off.
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm the one that's not right on the Britney.
Please, please, nobody tell Britney I did that. Please. We want her to come back.
Oh,
we do. We
love
will
you,
get
Brittany.
Our we will get our forecast in there for you, everybody.
Yes,
it is going to be a nice start to the week, from what I saw.
That's what it looks like. Yeah,
as a Cub reporter on weather and everything, I saw some good stuff.
Right,
we'll be talking with Brittany tomorrow, I'm sure. We also got plenty of other great things lined up for everybody. We got to kick things off with talking coffee, as it is National Coffee Day.
Oh, we're back to Coffee Day. Oh, yay!
Get into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club a little bit later. What is this new phrase that your teenagers are saying, everybody? Clocking it. We are clocking it a little bit later.
What aren't they saying? Those teenagers, buns. I'm telling you.
All these things. 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have some fun. We got our entertainment news. Got some other great topics to get into. A poll that found that if you're under 30, you probably are no good at reading clocks.
Speaking of clocking it.
What I really wanted to get into, what food was the biggest disappointment once you finally tried it?
Oh.
We will dive into that.
That sounds
one.
Interesting. Yeah.
Should be good.
I put on my thinking cap for that one.
But we, of course, have to kick our show off with it being the Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win multi-state contest, locally brought to us by our friends over at Rapids Transmission.
Yes,
this is your daily chance to win gold jewelry, $200 cash. And if you win one of those, you get in the running for the Green Bay versus Minnesota game in November, which is going to be a good one. Pull up that Civic Media app and text us the keyword for this hour, SNAP.
Snap.
Text it to us, everybody, through the Civic Media app. And, of course, be listening at the top of the 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 o'clock hours. Our people will have some other key words for you to text to us through the Civic Media app. Do that. And, of course, no integrity on this one. We are rooting for our Central Wisconsin listeners.
100%.
We want WFHR winners.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Text us that keyword right now, everybody. Snap. Get to it. Snap to it.
There's a lot more stations we're competing with now. We
got to. I know. We got even more. Oof. Keep adding them. Oh, there we got a couple people already. Good for you. Keep them coming, everybody.
Get them to us. And thank you so much, everybody. We'll get that word out there a couple of times throughout this hour. Snap to it. Get us that key word.
Mm-hmm.
Something that makes you a little snappy times in the morning. Coffee. Coffee can do that.
Sure.
And it is National Coffee Day. And coffee has definitely been on most people's minds by this point in the morning. If you're just getting going, maybe not. But yeah, here are some coffee-themed stories and promotions making the rounds online right now, celebrating this day. Of course, Seattle, is going to celebrate.
Oh, sure.
There was a time when Seattle was the coffee capital of the U.S., but is it still? Mm. An annual report on the best coffee cities in America ranked 100 cities based on things like local coffee population, or popularity, coffee roasters and shops, coffee spending and prices, and coffee culture. And this year, Portland, Oregon came in number one.
Of course.
Oh, Oregon.
I was going to say, if they managed to not do Portland, it was going to be Portland in my heart.
They've stolen the crown, man. Wow.
Followed by Orlando, Long Beach, California.
Okay.
Miami, Seattle, Tampa, San Francisco, Austin, Texas, Oakland, California, and Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
That would throw me off a little bit.
Okay, let's throw that one in there.
Okay.
A little curveball for you.
Somewhere over Laredo, Texas brings up the rear at number 100. Among larger cities, Detroit is one of the worst at number 97.
Okay.
Memphis at 94 and Cleveland at 88.
Okay.
Wow. Cool. Well, here's the thing, though. Two things. One, how many coffee days do we have? I feel like we've already had like three of them this year.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Right? And but then also, I would literally have coffee in any of those cities,
doesn't matter,
plus more, so like it's fine.
That's a great point.
As long as they have like one coffee place, we're good, right?
Yeah. Right, right.
That's it.
Well,
really.
It's fine.
Even a small community like Rapids, how many coffee shops do we
have?
We've
got at least three.
Like four? Maybe
four?
Five?
No,
I don't
four
know.
Or five.
Yeah, yeah.
You stretch
three
that.
Local ones and two chains.
Mm-hmm.
If you stretch it to Stevens Point, we have over
oh my gosh.
There's
so many.
If
so
somebody
many.
Told me there was 1,000 coffee shops in central Wisconsin, I would not be shocked.
No, I think you're right.
Chicago came in at number 30, Minneapolis at number 23. I don't know why, but I'm not seeing Madison or Milwaukee on this list, so therefore it is not a real list.
Fair. No, you're right.
I've never done this before.
Metacid would be shocking they weren't on there, actually.
Wallet Hub is a great site. They've done good by us for a long time. They do great data. They're one of the sites where I don't have to look double check their data very often and everything. But this is the worst they've ever done.
Sounds like they've got a Wisconsin-shaped blind spot.
Oh, my gosh.
A huge one. How do you not have... So I think that anybody has spent time in this state, you see how popular coffee is, and especially in Madison or up in Appleton, La Crosse, a lot of our areas over there. I don't know Milwaukee as well with the coffee thing, but I'm guessing that major
city. They do their share. They do their share, yeah.
How weird would it be if, like, here in Rapids and Point and some of these places, that we have this influx of tons of coffee shops, but the rest of the state, like, nah.
Right.
Like, that seems
that's
weird.
Shocking.
That
would
be,
that,
if they did it per capita, that would be interesting to see how we rate in here. Just, you know,
that
per,
would be
per person. How many coffee places per person do we have? Yeah.
More coffee stats. 66% of Americans say they drink at least one cup daily, up nearly 7% from 2020.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It must be the new influx of adults.
You are now allowed to drink coffee. Yes.
Congratulations.
Or the opposite. I like the idea of from 2020, which we all know what happened around that time and everything. As parents, we were just like, you know what? You want coffee? Fine. That's not even the worst thing
they were already drinking it, and now they're adults.
It's like, look, just go ahead.
And now you can be counted, right?
Specialty coffee is surging in popularity. 48% of adults say that they're into specialty coffee, up from 37% in 2021. Would you say that is just your kind of flavored coffee?
I think that's part of it. Yeah.
Is that more of a, like, a local roaster? Is that a specialty coffee, or are they talking, is it something less specific?
I think it's more than just like your regular dark roast, light roast. I think it is.
I'm talking like a local roaster, right?
Yeah. If they do, but I don't know if it's like specifically for, you know, we added flavor or, you know, this other whatever, you know, thing to it.
If it's a local coffee shop, it probably counts. Yeah,
I have no idea, but it's
or are they talking about a coffee drink with whipped cream on it? Is that what makes it specialty?
Maybe. I don't know.
I make some specialty coffee at home. Let me tell you,
we have in the state, and they're not sponsors, but I'm going to shout them out anyway. In the state of Wisconsin, Bears Brothers Coffee in Watertown is where they're from, and I don't know how they do it, man. They have all these different flavors, and they somehow their infusion of these aromas. It's amazing. I don't know how they do
That's
it.
Awesome.
It's just so good, though. Oh, man.
My coffee's currently brewing, so I'm having a hard time over here.
Concentrating. It's like, the coffee's coming, yeah.
Coffee prices have been soaring, largely due to tariffs and weather. Last month, the average price of a pound of ground roast coffee, $8.88, up 40% from a year ago.
Oof.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see those prices go down anytime soon. I've seen some information about Brazil, you know, one of the top coffee bean producers in the world. Most of their stocks going to China because they don't have tariffs. And actually, China's become like a huge coffee place country. They've got them all over. They're like the top coffee drinking country now. So
that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
This year,
more expensive.
A study showed that coffee can boost your mood. We talked about this. Regular caffeine drinkers feel happier and more enthusiastic after a cup, and that joy lingers more than 2 to 5 hours.
And
we also did a study showed that drinking caffeinated coffee daily is associated with a lower risk of death, particularly heart issues.
Okay.
Only if you don't drown it in a ton of cream and sugar.
The sugar will get you.
And we also did a study found that coffee drinkers do live longer, but only if you stop drinking it by noon. All day coffee addicts don't get the same benefits.
Okay.
Yeah, but I need that 3 p.m.
It can even
alongside of all the surveys,
and I'm gonna keep doing it too.
It can even save you from sedentary issues. A recent study found sitting on your butt all day might not be good for you.
Shocking.
But maybe not if you drink enough coffee. That coffee drinkers who sit all day are 24% less likely to die.
Right, because my heart's going been running 3 miles.
The old rabbit beating heart, yeah.
Would you give up coffee or mac and cheese? In a recent poll, 56% of Americans claimed that they'd be willing to give up coffee before giving up mac and cheese.
Those people are crazy.
Yeah, what? I'd, much more easily give up mac and cheese than coffee. 100%. Are you kidding me? I've given up mac and cheese before. That's no big deal.
James, I'm curious about you, mac and cheese guy. What do you what would I mean, also a coffee guy, so
I really do love mac and cheese, but I cannot think. I feel bad for mac and cheese in this scenario. I don't
know
who's
stand a
choosing.
Chance. Who's choosing mac and cheese?
I don't know. There's unless people,
are they the monster people? You know, the people who don't drink coffee, but they'll drink an energy drink, right? Yeah. They're Red Bull folks.
There you go.
I don't know who else is doing that.
Serious. Who would do? Anyway.
And if you love coffee, explore what's out there. A blind taste test found 45% of us are drinking a roast we think we like when we actually prefer something else. For example, a third of people who say
tell
that they
me
like,
what I like.
A third of people who say that they like dark or medium roasts actually prefer one that's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's okay. I thought that was obvious.
No, actually, that's I didn't fair, know that. I just recently found out if you're just drinking black coffee, it's actually lighter roasts are better.
Yeah.
In general, smoother, than the darker roasts.
Right.
I wasn't at that. Really? Oh, well, I thought it was the other way around, but that's what I know.
Obvious.
No.
Who, you know, maybe if you're fortunate, maybe you do remember, maybe you don't, but I don't think a lot of people necessarily remember who helped them tie their shoes or certain things. Like, there's certain stuff in life we just kind of find out or figure out or we're taught. I don't know that anybody ever sat me down and said, James, this is the type of coffee you would like. Right. Try all these coffees.
Right.
We just inherit our coffee from whatever our parents or guardians are drinking, basically.
Well,
and this actually makes a lot more sense. I hadn't really thought much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I've thought a lot about it, but I'm also a person who will buy a different bag of coffee every time I buy a bag of coffee.
Hey, well, try new things, you know?
Right, cool. And so I've explored that, I guess.
There you go.
Because I have had partners who like very, very dark roast coffees, and I knew I didn't like that. So
try something else.
I've always skewed a little lighter after that.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Maybe when I was younger, I'd be one of those purists. I only drink straight black coffee, whatever. Now I like trying the flavors. I do because I think that's interesting and it's fun.
It's fun.
So yeah,
I like to
try mine a little bit.
Yeah,
I like my taste buds. I like to I don't hate them. So I have stopped just drinking just black coffee. Just but every once
strong
in a while,
black coffee.
I think they like the black coffee every once in a while.
Well,
nothing wrong with that.
You're thinking of you.
National Coffee Day. A lot of places are offering Cree coffee deals. Of course, Dunkin', Starbucks, Coffee Bean, and Tea Leaf, Circle X. Panera. A bunch of them. We got one around you. Be sure to check them out.
Yep.
Other places have deals for coffee and other goodies, including Krispy Kreme and Dutch Bros and Shake Shack.
Stuff that we don't have around here.
Yeah.
Nope. But you can go to your local coffee shop and have a really dang good cup of coffee.
That's right.
And there are places.
Thank you, Agent Cooper.
There are places online where you can grab some coffee deals. Atlas Coffee Club, 8 O'Clock Coffee, Keurig. A lot of them are offering big deals on their products online today. And yes, as Laura said, most importantly, we encourage you to support our local coffee shops in our area. Got a lot of them, so hey, go to have a cup at each one,
support them all.
Enjoy
you can add variety of to your morning,
but maybe not all of them today, guys.
No, don't want to do that. vibrating.
And do keep in mind that we are always looking for sponsors around here. So you call local coffee shops. Can't think of a better place for you to advertise.
You know, James, a morning show.
Yeah,
great place. You know, our logo is even a cup.
It's
a coffee cup is our logo.
A steaming coffee cup is our logo.
We could not be more set up for you.
Did I mention I'm about to drink some coffee?
That could be your cup. She could be mentioning your cup
right.
Could. Be sure to reach out to our sales team.
Put a jackalope on it.
424-1300. We'd love to hear from you and be a part of things here. And we want you to go ahead and pull up that Civic Media app and text us the Go for the Green or Gold text to win multi-state contest word. Thank you to Rapids Transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Snap into it, everybody, and text us that keyword snap. Text it to us right now through the Civic Media app. And stick around because we got good stuff coming up with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is Laura, Seth, and James right here on The Morning Show.
If you're looking for the perfect spot to cure your sweet tooth, visit El Cafe. They've got an incredible pie selection daily with options like apple, pumpkin, and blueberry. They've even got cheesecakes like cherry, triple berry, and fudge. El Cafe pies are the perfect way to end a great meal or just a good excuse to stop in for a slice. See what all the fuss is about at 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards. Now available for pre-order or with meals. Stop by El Cafe and grab yours today by calling 715-887-2233.
The cost of mesothelioma treatments can exceed $400,000, and families often face losing their homes and life savings just to pay the bill. The Rights and Claims Department of Flint Cooper has helped victims secure financial support they need to pay for their care and ensure their family's future. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma and don't have legal representation, call Flint Cooper now at 800-606-8169. Time is running out for you to file a claim, so don't wait. Call 800-606-8169 for a free consultation.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
It's time to do a little bit of celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself tomorrow when they open their doors at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Hoping they're having a nice off Monday right here and getting ready for the week ahead because they got some great stuff going on. Find out about those specials and more at their Facebook page. Head on over there today. Type it in your search bar. Like what they're doing over there. Buy local, support local, support our friends at El Cafe. Wishing them a great week ahead.
100%.
And of course, get us those birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you.
Yeah.
info@wfhr.com. You can email us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, WFHR or WIRI's Facebook page. And you can call on up
715-424-2600 if you want to talk to us. But if you'd rather talk to Pam, wait until tomorrow and call 424-1300.
Yes.
Either way, just get it to us, everybody. Mm-hmm. We look forward to celebrating with y'all. Thank you so much, everybody, who got us birthdays and anniversaries to kick off our week. I need a one or two. Laura, you'll be in with us tomorrow, so I'm going to put Seth on there. One or two, Seth?
One.
All right. Is this thing qualified?
Old number one.
And first up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Pamela Jean Stern Maloff.
Oh, happy Pam.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Happy birthday to the strongest and smartest human being I've ever known, and that is exactly the way you wrote it, Mom. Exactly how you...
Well, she didn't write my script, and I'm a big fan.
Very nice.
We had to put it off a little bit, but yesterday we finally had time in the morning to go down to the river and celebrate the new year, as Jews tend to do and everything. And we had it's always a meaningful moment for her and I. Me in particular, I will say it's the closest I feel to some of those things. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect to laugh with her. And I forget sometimes. I focus on her intelligence or her superstitions or some of the other things that have commented on her. I forget how darn funny my mom is sometimes. Yeah. And she's got a great dry sense of humor.
Well, you had to get it from somewhere.
And, yeah, I love it. Appreciate her very, very, very much. Hope she is having a great start to the day. We'll talk to you soon, Mom. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pam.
We also did want to note, how many years of service my mom put into this area, working over at McMillan and some other places like that in this area. I really do appreciate that. And I know how many great relationships she's made through there. Mm-hmm. So all of her library friends and family out there wouldn't want me to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have a great day, Mom. Have a great one. And we wish a very happy birthday to another friend of ours around here, Moselle Stoiber.
Happy birthday, Mo.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Dr. Mo. Of course, you know her and Aaron and the team over there, and Corey and everybody are running things over at Stoiber Healthcare. We wish all of them a very happy morning and enjoy your day, Mo. It's a good one for you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish a happy birthday to our friend, Pam Denis.
Oh, another Pam. Happy birthday, Pam.
Our qualifier.
We like a Pam around here.
We like the Pams.
We may be biased towards Pams around here.
I think we are. A little bit, but that's all right.
Pam has been getting us this birthday for quite some time. We appreciate that, Pam. Enjoy your day. You're our qualifier today.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Congrats. We take a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with. Halsey is 31 today.
Oh, Halsey.
Halsey.
Yeah. Halsey. Took me a minute.
She's a fantastic singer, songwriter.
Yeah.
Yep. I did not know her really that much until she did her, I think it's her latest album she did with Trent Reznor and Atticus, Atticus Finch from, Atticus Ross from Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
Sure. And my God, what a singer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she
got some pipes.
She does some stuff with her voice. I don't feel like I've heard singers do before. Yeah, like, she's awesome. Good.
Happy birthday, Halsey.
Great singer, great songwriter, too. I like her lyricist. One of the greatest big men shooters of all time, Kevin Durant, is 37.
Mm.
He's
only 37. Gosh, he's been around for so long.
One of those guys, and his age is His game is only going to age with him, too, as he's such a three-point shooter, such a arc from there. One of the better nicknames, too, in basketball, I think, the Slim Reaper.
Yes, it's classic.
It's a good nickname.
That's nice. A great nickname.
Calvin Johnson, 40 years old, former Detroit Lions wide receiver and all-time great Hall of Famer, holds all the wide receiver records in Detroit, all of them.
Yes, probably will for a while.
Zachary Levi is 45, Shazam star, also was Kurt Warner in American Underdog. He was Flynn in Tangled. He was in the Thor movies a little bit, and got his break as Chuck in the TV show Chuck.
The TV show Chuck.
Let's see here. Oh, greatest bass player I've seen. Sorry, Flea. Sorry, but Les Claypool, 62, for singer, bassist for Primus.
Yeah.
Seeing people smash around to the South Park song, I will never forget that as long as I live.
It's great.
Mark Farmer is 77, original singer for Grand Funk Railroad.
That's right.
All right.
Mark left the band in 98, but they replaced him and moved on. They are still touring, I believe.
Good for them.
There was a moment in time where Grand Funk Railroad was touring, and they were building up such steam that they were opening for Led Zeppelin. Big deal.
Big deal.
Mm-hmm. There was a show in particular where the crowd was so rowdy for Grand Funk Railroad that Zeppelin would not go on for a half an hour because they didn't want to follow what just happened.
That's hilarious.
That's crazy.
Led Zeppelin, of all bands. Wow.
Any great American band you can think of right now, everybody that is insanely famous, that's what they thought was going to happen to Grand Funk Railroad.
Right. Well, they were an American band.
They were. I you beat me to the joke. I was working on it.
Gotcha.
Somebody. Bryant Gumbel, 77.
Wow.
Wonderful journalist and talk show host, or really morning show host for a very long time. It's really where he made his bones. And a whole other generation got to know him as a sports reporter on HBO's Real Sports.
Real Sports,
yeah. The Gumbels, though, incredible journalists. Mike Post is 81. Wow.
Wow.
Genius who wrote theme songs. Oh, just a couple. Magnum P.I., The A-Team, Hill Street Blues, Quantum Leap, The Rockford Files, Doogie Howser, M.D., The Greatest American Hero, maybe the greatest theme song of all time. Just to top it off, all three Law & Order series theme songs.
Yes, that they continue to use, by the way. Mm. Yes, the same. It's very iconic.
Kind of a cool note about all of those. None of them sound alike. Now, outside of the Law and Order ones, none of them sound alike. That's really interesting to me when an artist can do that, whatever the medium, whatever they're doing.
No, but I'm such a nerd that I'm trying to think of all of them in my head and find the common link.
Right. That's it. Well, there's so many. There's got to be a couple. There's so many. Wow.
I might have already found my rabbit hole for later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them there.
The Mike Post rabbit hole.
The great Ian McShane is 83 today. Al Swearinger on Deadwood. He swore so much as that character, having the name Al Swearinger.
That had to have been an inside joke.
Blackbeard in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. He was also Brother Ray in Game of Thrones, sixth season. A lot of people know him from quite a few different things, but just incredible actor. He was also in the John Wick movies recently.
Yes. He was, if you remember, way back 1990s, Ian McShane was Lovejoy on A&E.
First thing I remember him from.
That was his first big break. Yeah.
Wild to see him as Lovejoy and then to see what he's turned his career into.
Exactly.
Completely wild. And some people no longer with us. And both names that, as Seth and I were touching on, you have to mention if you're going to talk about the history of music. Jerry Lee Lewis, rock and roll pioneer.
Sure. Killer.
Immortalized so many different things. I remember as a kid watching the Jerry Lee Lewis movie.
Great Balls of Fire.
Dennis Quaid did, Winona Ryder in that one. There is a ton to say about this guy off the field.
Boy, isn't there.
That all is noteworthy and needs to be remembered and said.
Yep.
At the same time, changed the face of the way music was looked at. The piano certainly was
looked at. He had a tremendous influence.
There's a lot in the history of rock like that, where there are people who are less than stellar, but they changed rock music for what it is.
And Gene Autry, born in this day in 1907, the singing cowboy.
Singing cowboy.
Got 5 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, each for 5 different categories, radio, TV, movies, records, and live performances. He has been in the Country Hall of Fame since 1969, and one of the definitive names of country music.
Yeah.
He wrote and recorded one of the most iconic Christmas songs of all time, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That was Gene Autry.
The OG one.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yeah, he co-wrote it, too, yeah.
Fantastic.
One of my first favorite actresses and first crushes, if I'm being honest and everything, the wonderful Madeline Kahn, born in this day in 1942.
Oh, sure.
As a kid growing up loving Mel Brooks movies, how could you not fall in love with Madeline Kahn?
Yeah, you and everybody else, man.
Yep. She used that marvelous voice that she had for such good comic effect.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you watch the other stuff she went in, not Mel Brooks stuff, she was, man, she was so good.
Madeline Kahn had...
So funny.
Had a delicacy with her voice that could cut through glass.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
It doesn't make sense the what she...
Her voice was excellent.
Oh,
so good.
God, I loved her. Great actress, great actress. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping you have great birthdays out there, every one of you celebrating.
Happy birthday.
Wishing you all a wonderful birthday and a wonderful day and joy. And get us more of these birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you and ramble about you, too.
Woo!
Get them to us, everybody, so we can celebrate with you and make plans to head to El Cafe tomorrow over there. We wish them a great one for today. Enjoy your day off, everybody. Going to get to our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. When we come back, we'll be clocking it, or will we? We'll figure out what
we'll
that means.
We'll find out what that is.
We're going to figure out what that means coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a death investigation underway in the town of Belmont. The Portage County Sheriff's Office received a call of a suspicious vehicle at Fountain Lake Boat Landing a little after 11 a.m. on Friday. Sheriff's deputies found the vehicle, which had an alert from another county to do a welfare check on the driver. The deputies found 2 other people in the park area who reported there was a man on the trail not far from the boat landing who was deceased. The name and age of the deceased man is not being released at this time, and the circumstances surrounding their death is under investigation. The Portage County Sheriff's Department urges that if you or someone you know is having a mental health concern or are in crisis, to reach out to law enforcement or a mental health professional immediately. There's tech help at McMillan Library this week. If you need help with a device like your cell phone or maybe a tablet or Kindle, you can stop in for Tech Help Open Lab. It's on Wednesday, October 1st, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the McMillan Library Meeting and Training Room. Mid-State staff will be there to help, and you don't need to make an appointment. Just bring your device. On Thursday at the library, the McMillan Concert Series continues with Medusa. This free concert is on Thursday, October 2nd at 7 p.m. in the Library Fine Arts Center. Medusa is described as a cross-pollination of the sounds of Middle Eastern, Scandinavian, Celtic, Appalachian, and Eastern European music, as well as original tunes. These 4 folk musicians say they're a reimagined Western string quartet that are connecting audiences across dividing lines of culture and identity to reveal the common threads beneath. That's this Thursday at 7 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
Disappointment in OT. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Dallas, where the Packers kicked a 34-yard field goal as time expired in overtime to end with a 40-40 tie with the Dallas Cowboys. Head coach Matt LaFleur's reaction after the game.
It's disappointing. Just too many critical mistakes that led to that tie. And that really bit us in the butt.
Running back Josh Jacobs scored 2 touchdowns. I asked him at his locker what it felt like ending in a tie.
Weird, honestly. That's the only way I can really explain it. I think the stuff before the half, we kind of like shot ourselves in the foot with.
Baseball. The Brewers came back to win 4-2 over the Reds Sunday. Their crew finished the regular season with 97 wins, a new franchise record.
You know, I'm glad that this team gets to be remembered differently. I'm not into records necessarily, but it's a way for 2025 to be recognized differently.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The president has tons of critics in or out of the entertainment business, but none have been as harsh as Bruce Springsteen. The boss has written about blue-collar America for most of his career and professed his love for his country in a recent interview with Time magazine. Springsteen hit the president pretty hard during his tour last spring. The boss does not seem intimidated, even though the president has him by 3 years, about 150 pounds, and is beating him in bankruptcies, 6-0. Not to mention he is also leading when it comes to telling someone not to certify election results. Be that as it may, the boss has a lot more kick-butt tunes. All the president could come up with in response to Springsteen's harsh criticism was, "He's dumb as a rock." This from the guy who can't pronounce acetaminophen. In the interview with Time, Springsteen probably realized he couldn't match wits and just said he couldn't care less what the president thinks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Your tween made you see.
We are the boy band.
It's Painful Concert number 3.
We are the boy band.
We're 5 and 19.
We are the boy band.
Always singing on key.
You love your kids enough to take them to see their favorite band. Love them enough to make sure they're buckled up in the back seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapids Report over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapids Report at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great morning out there. We got to get into some terminology right now. We're going to make improve all of our lexicons out there. No matter how old you are, going to make you feel young, get you some new keywords that the kids are saying, the young people are saying.
Get your learning hats on.
And just by that sentence alone, I have now killed whatever it is I'm about to
whatever
say.
Whatever momentum.
I've destroyed whatever it is.
Oh, that wasn't the goal?
It challenges them. Makes them, now that
there you go.
When we take over these words, they got to come up with new stuff and everything. Is your teenager's new favorite phrase clocked it?
No. Mm.
Google says searches for it just hit an all-time high.
All right.
It means what you think, to notice something and make a mental note. Ah, clocked it. Okay. Or noted. I've always said noted, but that, I guess that's not a thing anymore. But kids are using it in a much broader way than their parents would. A TikTok mom explained that the different ways she's seen it used. They might say, "Your nails look nice, clocked it." Or they might hear some juicy gossip and say, "Ooh, clock that tea." It's been popular on social media since last year, but it's trending right now, particularly because more kids and parents have been hearing it since the new school year started up.
Oh, that's when they all the new phrases get bandied about.
Hadn't really thought about that.
That makes sense, though, over the summer.
Using the... Now, So you used to have... I never experienced this or anything like that. I thought that going to camp, like kids going to camp in the summer, was just a movie and TV show thing.
No, me too. Seriously, me too.
I thought that that was just something
I didn't think that was real life.
That wasn't real.
Turns out we were just poor.
Yeah. Turns out. I wanted to sit there. That's hilarious. That was hilarious. If I had a laugh button, I would hit a laugh button on that one. When it comes to like the modern like way of getting these words out there and everything, I wonder how much of that has gone away because kids they're not going away from each other anymore in the summer. They're still connected. They're still talking and everything.
Yep.
Huh. I wonder if that's made it more or less, or I don't know. I don't know.
It's just constantly changing lexicon. That's what it is.
So it's using the word clocked to describe something you noticed isn't really new at all. Merriam-Webster says the first known usage was almost a century ago, back in 1929.
Ooh. Wow. Nice. Okay.
And that is a big part of why I wanted
Bring
to do this story.
Back.
I'll
Bring
be honest
it
with
back.
You. I just think that's kind of cool. But it's not surprising.
But I feel like they're not using it right. Like, I know I sound old, and I'm going to own that right now.
You sound very old right now.
I'm only old. I feel like, so to me, saying those nails look good, clocked it, is redundant. You already said the nails look good. Like, right? Now, with the tea example, right? Clocked that tea. Are they suggesting that the person saying clocked it predicted the tea that is coming out of the other person's mouth, because in which case they're using it correctly. In any other instance, they're not.
I like the idea of, you know, the evolution of language, where we can take certain things and make them new, and you know, it's still somewhat connected to the original, you know, what James was just telling us about there.
Yeah,
but it is different. It's used in a kind of a new and updated way, which is great. I mean, as difficult a language as English can be and is, that's one of the fun parts about it, is that it's so flexible. It's so changeable.
That's part of what makes it hard.
There's some languages like French, and I'm not picking on French, but it's a language that you can't update really. Mm-hmm. It's very stuck. You know, it is a very, this is how it is, and this is everything. You've got all your rules and all that stuff. English is very flexible. It can add and subtract and all these kinds of things, which I think makes it, that's the fun part of English. Mm-hmm. So.
It shouldn't be surprising, I guess, and maybe it isn't to some, maybe it is to others, but we do this with fashion, we do this with all kinds of things. Entertainment in general, no matter what the medium, comes back around.
Sure.
When you look at, like, there was a push with the role of radio, with the rollout of radio, and then of TV, there was a big drawback from people of going to the theaters. But then you saw in the late 60s, early 70s, and then into the 80s, this gigantic rush that everything had to be live and live theater and so much of that. A lot of TV shows back in the 70s would do live episodes or just film live.
Right, exactly.
And kind of going back to that and everything. Fashion, we talk about it all the time. This, what was old is now coming back.
Yeah.
So terminology doesn't seem like it's
same
that
thing.
Different.
No. Yeah. With a few exceptions, you know.
Sure.
Not the as hard as I try. The cat's pajamas, not coming back.
No, that's a bummer.
I want that, you know, the bee's knees. Okay, but I want that. 23 Skidoo. Yeah.
You have teenagers.
I do.
Do you have any interesting words flying about your house right now?
Not recently. There's every now and then I've heard a few that I'm like, huh? That kind of thing. I have not heard this phrase from my teenager's mouth yet.
I haven't
yet,
heard
so.
This one from my teenagers yet either, but I was wondering if you had any weird ones that were currently floating about, because I have one.
Oh, okay.
That I was stunned by. So the first week of school, right? At first day even, my sixth grader comes home, and I say to them, I'm like, hey, how was your day? Oh, buns. And I'm like, is that bad? Or is that, what is buns?
I love that you asked the follow-up.
I had to.
100%, but I don't know if I'd be brave enough as a parent to ask the follow-up. You right on. Good on you. I'd want to ask, but I don't know if I would.
I'm still not sure. I'm pretty sure buns is a pejorative.
I have heard something similar, but not from a kid. I heard it on a podcast where the speaker is trying to... He's trying to not use a certain word.
Sure.
So he's like, it was, you know, if something was bad, he would say, yeah, it was butt or it was buns. He would use buns in that. So I think you're right.
I think that's what she's
doing. I think it is a pejorative term in a very kind of funny, very mild way of saying, you know, it wasn't good. Buns. It was a bad day.
What was the one that all the kids were saying like a year or like for like 2 years?
I don't know.
Felt like there were, but it meant lame. It meant something that was lame or something like that.
I know what you mean, but I cannot remember.
My brain is protecting me right now.
I've got nothing.
It's blocking that word.
I don't want to remember.
I don't want to either.
Because the ones my kids were using were never the popular ones, and I know that now deep down inside.
It's a great follow-up question. Though, because I hadn't thought about, like, you know, what currently, like, right well, now, what are some words that are going on in our area? Because every area is going to be different, right. too.
Well, and I call my rabbit buns. I have a pet rabbit. Which is
short for buddy, right? Buns. Like bun bun or something
like
that.
Like, yeah, like, I'll just, hey, buns.
Yeah.
But now I'm, like, calling her a pejorative.
It depends on how you're saying it to the rabbit. It doesn't matter.
I love her deeply, and she knows
buns.
It makes you wonder buns. If in the animal kingdom, when these words get to them, and if you know what
does it mean anything, or am I just flapping my mouth at you?
Are they still using like tubular and radical? Are they still using words like that?
It's gnarly, man.
Yeah, they haven't gotten the modern words yet. I wonder if the animal kingdom is up to date on that stuff.
It's Marvy. Yes.
We will take a quick time out, come back with some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer about the newest candidate for Wisconsin governor and Cam Stevenson from the nation's capital on the approaching government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Hi, everyone. Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
It is going to be another warm one today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We could see a little fog overnight, our low dropping into the mid to upper 50s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the mid to upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Up in the morning and out to school.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. Got Laura, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Interesting one here, and not too surprising, I don't think, though. In a new survey, the average kid under the age of 18 is holding a phone 52% of the time when their parents are trying to have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
And it's not just a kid problem. The same parents say their partner is holding a phone 58% of the time that they're trying to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And keep this in mind, both partners are saying this about the other.
I'm 100% guilty of this when talking to my child with their phone in their hand.
And only 74% of parents report that they have had a device-free conversation with them the past week. 74%.
Woo!
Ooh, that's
a really high number.
So at least some parents are making, quote, no phone rules of at certain times, like during dinner, family movie nights, or family outings.
You've just got to.
Overall, 78% of parents are worried about spending less time in real conversations with their kids. Can we do real quickly, just take, and I admit that I might be scraping the barrel here a little bit and everything, but that overall 70% of parents are worried about spending less time in real conversations. Mm-hmm. That we're aware of this?
Yes.
That parents are putting action into it? Can we just take a little bit of a win with that,
that
right
they
there?
Care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shows that they're paying attention. Yeah.
Because, as a former child, I can say that the odds when I was a kid, it wasn't a 70% of parents caring. I'm sorry. And
it didn't seem that way.
Right? And so, like, this does feel like a win. I'm really glad you brought that up. Sorry. I have to say it that way. I have to contextualize everything. I'm a monster.
I started out as a child, yes.
Many such cases.
Very noteworthy. Yeah. Very noteworthy. I completely forgot where I was going to go with this. That was hilarious, Laura. That was hilarious.
Broke him.
That was great. When it comes to what we do about this, I also think that a great idea to keep in mind with this one is there is no magic bullet. There is no, oh, we just did this in the house and everything was better. Mm. Like, every household is going to be different, so there is no one-size-fits-all for every family.
Right.
And I really genuinely think that we're better off trying to merge these worlds than just being like, as soon as you walk in the door, technology doesn't exist. Or some of the things I had a student the other night that was talking about the house that he grew up in and how it was literally like that. They walked in the door, they put their phones in a bowl like you would keys or something like that. And he did that for, I think he said 4 or 5 years, like his last years in school and all this. Came out of school and had no idea how to, like, basically do schoolwork, like on a collegiate level, because everything in college is on your phones and all these things now.
They have they have programs that are all online stuff.
So,
well, I went to college almost entirely online.
That's exactly.
Entirely online.
We're not doing our kid. You don't do your child any good just wrapping them in bubble wrap and pretending that the outside world doesn't exist.
No, you can't shield them from it. You have to grow with it.
That's right.
That's evolution, baby.
And it's great to have parameters. You know, that's up to each individual family. You know, what you want to think is acceptable. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you're helping anyone by just saying, anytime the answer is to, just get rid of it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound right to me. That sounds like something. First of all, you can't. And then second of all, what trying to do it, you're going to fail anyway. And how does that help?
Yeah.
How does that help anyone? Right. Yeah.
As we've seen with late night TV quite a bit, when you tell, we're all teenagers still.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. No matter what your age, I don't care if you're 99 years old, you are still a teenager at heart. As we've seen, you tell people not to do something, what do? They immediately go to it.
Tell me what.
Late night television hasn't had decent ratings in almost 2 decades. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they tell people, hey, this is going bad.
There you go. Turn it on. Care about late night TV, James.
I mean seriously.
This is something. This is why I'm saying we are all teenagers. None of us really grow out of this. And I use that story kind of tied into this one. This is a kind of, I think the amount of screens in homes is where we're going next. A TikTok mom is going viral after counting up all the different gadgets with screens her family has. She and her husband have 4 kids, age 2, 5, 7, and 10. She counted everything with a screen, so it's TVs all the way down to Apple Watches, and her grand total was 2 dozen screens in her home.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Almost half of them were TVs. And somehow have 9. They have some. I don't know about that part. Both adults and all 4 kids have their own iPad, even the 2-year-old. And her 5-year-old has a second one for speech therapy. So 7 tablets total.
Wow.
She also counted 2 Apple Watches, 2 computers, 3 iPhones, a Nintendo Switch, and a total of 24 different screens for an average of 4 per person.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Now, I think this is, I don't think, I believe this is an extreme example. And this is a larger family.
Right.
Keeping
4 kids.
Of that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course, mark these numbers towards your household and everything. Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, the majority of things I just said were not entertainment based. they were either work-related or health-related or something along those lines.
Right.
They are still used for entertainment purposes, certainly, but their initial intention was to, you know, the Apple Watch in particular was meant to be a health device kind
right.
of thing.
And I don't know if I would even consider that. It's so small. I don't know if I'd consider that a screen myself. That's just my own thing, but
I feel pretty good about the ratio in my house, the screen-to-person ratio. We're okay. We're only at 1.8. I did.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
I'm not good. Doing too bad.
I did have a moment though recently when I walked and I started thinking about how many just televisions we have. I'm like, why, where did all these, how come, why do I have so many TVs, where did these all, wait a minute, I don't
bring them to the studio, we've got room for them.
Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, oh, just started collecting them, I guess.
So I don't,
it's an interesting collective item.
Yeah, right.
I think that this is one of those things. Well, we all have like an electronic graveyard.
We've all
graveyard.
Got a weird collection.
Everybody mm-hmm. has an electronic graveyard somewhere.
Oh, yes.
My box 100%. Of dead cell phones.
Yes. You got it.
Yes. It's somewhere in your house just waiting to yep. be recycled.
Monitors,
or hopefully.
You know, old CPUs. Yeah, I got a few of those.
Yeah.
This is another one of those things. And again, both these stories, I believe, tie into each other and everything because we're not going in an opposite direction here or anything. It's not like we're mm-hmm. going less screens or less devices with screens. We're putting them in cars now. It's not uncommon. It's more common than anything to see a screen in a car. If you've got something that was built in the last 10 years, you probably have a vehicle that has a screen in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And to be fair, it's everywhere.
I didn't count the vehicle.
It's everywhere. I mean, you can't get away from it.
No.
There's screens on gas pumps.
Come on.
Yes. Seriously.
And I hate them.
I'm not a fan. Not a fan of that. Not at all.
I
always hit the mute button for sure. I don't want to hear that.
I am very grateful for the mute button.
Yes, I'm glad they do put that on there.
I think with that being said, it's one of those things where you've got to really, we have to learn how to work with this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're not
going to be able to just cut yourself off from it. It's impossible at this point.
What story in human history, no matter what the civilization, tried to go backwards and it worked? Name me one.
Yeah, where guys, it hasn't ever worked before.
Well, hey, you know what? I don't like this. I'm going to outlaw this, and it's going to stop it right there. And yeah, good luck, government.
Except it's not.
Sure.
No, there's no
government. It's going to pause it maybe at best.
Mm-hmm.
Even dictatorships are nothing without the people.
Yep.
And if the people want something, or the people are going to fight for something, they're going to make it happen whether they got to overthrow you or not.
Exactly.
And so when it comes to some of this stuff, I don't know. I mean, I think that you're a lot better off just embracing things than you are trying to push things back. I please tell me an example of that not happening.
Right.
There's nothing in life like that.
Yeah.
That's not how time works.
You have to find out what works for you, basically.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, if you feel like you're doing too much screen stuff, you know, then, you know, find out ways that you can try to, you know, find ways that you don't have to do it as much as you're doing, you know, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have get to that point where they feel like, you know, it's like, man, I'm spending a lot of time on screens. It's not necessarily, I don't feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch screens for a long period of time, you know, you yep. kind of feel physically like, eh, you know, kind of thing.
I need to go touch grass.
Yeah, exactly. So
I think our bodies tell us yep. a little
they
of
do.
This, too.
They will,
when
yeah.
we're, okay.
Go get your feet in some dirt. You'll mm-hmm. be okay.
Right. Take a walk. Get yeah. some fresh air.
Listening to that inner monologue, that inner body, what it's telling you and stuff goes a long mm-hmm. way, I think. And certainly, you know.
And being proactive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like yeah. being aware of the importance of limiting screen time for the sake of everyone in the family mm-hmm. and for right. your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Being aware of it means you're going to take the time to limit it, and that's what matters.
That's part of it, yep.
And look, again, this is coming from a guy who's never going to get a Father of the Year mug or anything like that, but I will say, talking to two great parents and being what I've seen around great parenting and stuff, talking to your kids,
mm-hmm.
letting them be a part of this decision-making
yep.
process. Now, that does not mean that they necessarily really have a say, but
no.
Let them think they do, let them have some input on it and everything.
Let
doesn't
them
mean
know that their yeah. input carries weight. It
exactly.
is not a deciding factor, but their input carries weight
right.
because their feelings matter.
Mm-hmm. And they will, and it just helps engage.
Mm-hmm.
If you show that you're willing to listen, it engages them, and that's really important.
Yeah.
Goes a long, long, long way.
It does.
We are going a long way with a couple of things we're going to wrap up the hour here with and everything. So for one, we've got this awesome thing going on right now. Our good friends over at State of the Arts have a great concert coming to town next Thursday, October 9th. Experience the magic Willie Nelson, Willie and Family Live.
Yeah.
Next Thursday, October 9th, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center right here in Rapids. Willie and Family Live, Michael Moore's tribute to Willie Nelson. The 90-minute show is a heartfelt homage to the legendary outlaw of country music. You can hear more about the Redheaded Stranger. Grab your cowboy boots, put your favorite hat on, and join them for an evening of country coolness. Willie and Family Live, a tribute spectacular.
I didn't know we were dressing up.
See, I'm kind of liking that.
All right.
Tickets are selling fast and may be purchased by calling 715-424-2787 or stopping at 1040 8th Street South right here in Rapids. Keep in mind, those tickets are for sale 24/7 at SavorTheArts.com. We had Sally and Michael on with us the other day. Wonderful edition of the Rapids Report. Really enjoyed talking to Michael. He sounds like, just the way he talks, he sounds like Willie Nelson.
He's got really it down.
Does. He does have Willie Nelson's voice.
And that part he's not working on. That's just him.
No, that's just what he sounds like. It worked out.
I wonder if that was the thing people say. Do you know you sound a lot like Willie Nelson? He's like, I should be train. Like Wilson.
Yeah. Michael's story is amazing. Check out that at the Rapids Report online. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And I want to say a big thank you to Sally and Michael and that, because they also gave us tickets to give away. If you want to go to this concert for free, call up and let us know your favorite Willie Nelson song. Your favorite Willie Nelson song.
Good one.
That's a hard tickets to see this show. Be sure to go to SavorTheArts.com and make sure to get your tickets. And of course, we got the Go for the Green or Gold text to win multi-state contest going on locally. Shout out to Rapids Transmission. Text us that keyword. Snap to it, everybody.
S-N-A-P.
Text that to us and get in on the winning. Good luck to everybody out there, and stick around. We got another hour of fun coming up for you right here at...
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Michigan say the death toll could go up after a local Marine veteran plowed his car into a Latter-day Saints church in Grand Blanc, opened fire, and ignited the building. At least four people were killed. Paul Kirby was inside.
I felt some shrapnel hit my left leg, and then a bullet went through the glass door about a foot from me.
President meets with congressional leaders today as a Wednesday morning budget deadline looms. White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt.
There is nothing to negotiate when you have a clean CR. Look, there are, of course, important policy discussions that can be had, but we are nearing a government shutdown.
Oregon is suing to try to stop the president from sending the National Guard into Portland. Governor Tina Knowles.
Putting our own military on our streets is an abuse of power and a disservice to our communities and our service members.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.